Hello, I'm Ronnie Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. Thank you for tuning in today. Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, Southwest Missouri, America, and even the world. I thank you again for tuning in today. And please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our 5 regional campuses. Come and be a part of our friendly, compassionate faith family. Go to crosschurch.com to learn more information about our fellowship of believers.
Today I want to begin, and I want to ask you a few important questions. I mean, the questions, I think, have answers. For example, one of these questions would be, do you believe God wants you to live fit spiritually? I mean, do you believe God wants you to be fit spiritually? I trust you do. And do you believe that God wants your relationships in life to be healthy and replenishing to your life? I believe God wants that. And do you believe God wants you to live by biblical principles regarding money so that you can live a life that is healthy financially? I really believe he does. And do you believe that God wants you to live emotionally healthy rather than live like a basket case, up and down like the stock market reads? I believe God wants you to be emotionally healthy. But I want to ask you a question you perhaps have never been asked before, especially in a church building. Do you believe God wants you to live fit physically? Do you believe God wants you to live in the healthiest and most productive way possible for where you are physically in your life? You know, I'm not sure why this subject has been ignored, especially by Christians, but it has. Perhaps it could be because pastors and Christian teachers and leaders many times are not known to model that, so it's a little difficult to stand up and talk about it. Or it could be that we are so fatalistic in our view. Fatalistic view of this would mean what? It would mean that the human body doesn't have any merit anyway, because one day you're going to die, so hey, eat, drink, and be merry, and everybody be happy. I think that plays a little bit of it, because in some people's words, and it's true, where unless the Lord comes back, you're going to die anyway. So what does it matter? Well, I think it does matter. You see, maybe you've never thought about it this way before, but you cannot go where your body does not take you to go. Have you ever thought about that? And your body can't go any further than your heart takes you to go. But much deeper than that today would be the most important question in the room. What does the Bible say about living fit physically? Or does it even say anything? What does the Bible say about your body, the human body? Or does it say anything? We are in a series called Checking the Gauges of Your Life. And unquestionably, as you look at the dashboard of your life, the dashboard that we've tried to create in these weeks together, I believe the most neglected gauge on the dashboard has to do with our physical health and our physical fitness and where we are in taking care of ourselves. I believe there's no doubt about that. I think it's because we have a warped view about our body. We almost imagine our body belongs to us, but it really doesn't belong to us, does it? Or perhaps it does. So I think the question that is most appropriate to ask, which I believe has an answer, is it mine or is it God's? Which one is it? You say, well, there ain't no way God wants my body. Wait a minute. Is it mine or is it God's? Well, I really believe the scripture speaks to this. And two of the most powerful verses in the entire New Testament talk about this very subject. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to read for us this morning. And I want to read two verses in chapter 6. I want to read verse 19 and verse 20. I want you to note it on your Bible. Be sure you underline it if you have the written word of God in your hand. These are treasure verses. Look what the Bible says. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You are not your own. You are not your own. For you were bought at a price. And then notice this scripture. Notice this line. So glorify God with your body. Powerful, powerful verses of scripture. Now this morning, I want to be so daring with you that I am going to refuse to let you dismiss what I say. So we've locked all the doors and you're not getting out until you admit you've heard me. No, we can't do that, or I would, maybe. But I don't want you to dismiss this and just say, well, you know, that's the way he is. He's weird. I'm not weird most days. But listen to what I'm going to tell you, because this is so important. Your body, look at all of us. Look at this crew here. My God, they're all so different. Look at them. Look at their bodies. Look at your body. Look, hold it, look, hold it. Look at you. We're all different. None of us look alike. We come in all shapes and all sizes and all colors of skin. Not everybody can be like me, 6'4", handsome, dark complected. I get it. But living fit physically doesn't mean you're going to be perfect in your life. There's no such thing as perfection. The only time you're going to be perfected with your body is when you go to heaven one day and you'll have a glorified body. Some of you think the Lord's come back. Well, look at your mate. Does their body look glorified to you or not? Well, probably not. So what we have to understand is the Lord will come again. But between now and then, what does the Bible tell us about our bodies? Our bodies are important to God, so they should be important to us. So none of us are perfect. It's not about perfection. It's not about looking like that magazine cover of that guy or that girl as you go through the grocery line. I went to the grocery store yesterday. Lord, help us. I never go to the grocery store. I went to the grocery store. I'm dangerous in the grocery store. I'm in the grocery store, and as I go out, there's a line. I see it. Picture of a girl, a guy, and they're perfect. And we look at that and we say, well, that's not me, so hey, you know, that's what you're talking about? No, that's not what I'm talking about. Let me just tell you, if you don't know this, they don't look like that either. It's called airbrushing. It's called what I tell my team every time they want to take new pictures of me for PR. I'll do it, but you make me as young and as awesome as I possibly can be. And they say, Pastor, we believe in miracles, but not that one. And I say, you are fired. Well, I believe the Bible speaks to this matter. And today what I want to do is that I want to give you three reasons, three biblical reasons your body matters to God. Some of you have never thought about how your body matters to God. That's okay. Let's think about it together. Just because we haven't heard it doesn't mean it's not so. Just because we haven't maybe read about it and never really thought about it like we're about to think about it doesn't make it not so in your life. But after today, we all have light from the Scripture. So what are some biblical reasons your body matters to God? The first reason ought to be enough. The first reason ought to be enough to close the book and just go on and go home. But we're not. Reason number one, God created you. God created you. You mean God created this? Oh yes, God created you. The Bible's quite clear, is it not, about creation? Chapter 1 of the book of Genesis, verse 27. Look at it with me. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. When the Bible says God created man, that word man literally is translated humanity. God has created all humanity. It's a reference to both genders, not to simply the male gender. Male and female, all humanity. But then it goes on to say he created him in the image of God, created all humanity in the image of God. But yet, even though all are created in the image of God, and all humanity has done that, he then mentions that he did create both what? Male and female. Now, men and women are not alike. Men and women do not look alike. Men and women are made differently. The Bible here speaks about this, and in the context of Genesis, especially in the first two or three chapters, it's all in reference of the context about how God created each person, designed both male and female uniquely so that they could come together physically in order to bear fruit across the world and reproduce family, children, multiply and fill the earth. That's what the Bible says, is it not? Yes, it does. In fact, what this reminds us of today is none of us have the prerogative to determine our gender. Gender is not fluid. Either God has created you male or God has created you female. It is what it is. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, God thought it was pretty cool what he did. So what did God say? God saw all that he had made, and it was very good indeed. So how has God created you? Well, let's talk about that just a little bit. He's created you, first of all, uniquely. Uniquely. There is no one else like you. Did you hear me? There is no one else like you. That's pretty amazing. You think about the 3 billion people in the world? That's alive right now, and no one's like you? That's a pretty creative God. I think it was Christmas last year, Gina gave me, one of her gifts was, she gave me this whole deal from Ancestry.com where you take, you know, you spit in a cup. That's a little different. She gave it to me in December because it was a Christmas gift, I think, is what I remember. We got it done in August. That was my summer goal. So I spit in the cup. And we sent it to Ancestry.com, and I found out that I have a DNA. I know more about where I am, who I am, where I'm from. Don't ask me today in the lobby. I'd have to get out my results. But here's what I know. Very clear. There's no one like me. Isn't that amazing? You say, thank God. I know. I say the same thing about you. Oh, we could be similar, have similar DNA, but not one of us have the what? Same DNA. And science verifies that. Is that not unbelievable? Just like God says in His Word. There's no one else like you. You're special. That's why you need to tell your children and your grandchildren all the time, you are so special. Because this world will never tell them they're special. The world gets us all into this stupid comparison game where we feel horrible about the way we look or horrible about the way we live. But God says you're special. I look at my granddaughters sometime and I say to them, I don't say this to my grandsons, but I will say it to my granddaughters. Who made you so pretty? And they prance and they say, God did. Except my oldest granddaughter now, periodically if I say that, she just kind of rolls her eyes. But I want my grandchildren understanding who made them. Are you with me? And that they are special, and that they are special because God made them. God doesn't make any mistakes. And because of destiny, I'm telling you, God has created you with destiny. Destiny, not only uniquely, but with destiny, because God has a purpose for your life. You believe that? Oh, listen, we gave a Sunday to talk about purpose just recently in this series. 2 years ago, we gave 4 weeks on the subject of purpose in your life. I'm telling you, God has destined you with a purpose. And there are times your purpose may be mysterious and you may not know it, but I'm telling you, you can know for certain God has created you with purpose and for purpose. And you're just like the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 1, where he says that God formed me in my mother's womb and He called me. That's exactly what God's done with you. You have a purpose. So the first reason your body matters to God is because God created you. The second reason your body matters to God is because God lives inside of you. God lives inside you. You say, now what? What'd you say? I said, God lives inside you. I didn't say you become God. Let's make that clear. But I did say God lives inside you. You say, now, Ronnie, how do you know that? Well, 1 Corinthians 6:19 is one of the most important scriptures in the Bible about your body and about your life. In fact, notice what it says. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what it says about your body. That means that the dwelling place of God is your body. God lives in you. That means that there comes a moment where your body becomes like the inner sanctuary where God lives. The Holy Spirit lives in your body. You say, prove it. All right. We call it conversion. I was once lost, on my way to a destination not called heaven, but called hell. I was separated and alienated from God. But just like many of you have done in this room, and some of you need to do today in this room, you came to a point of understanding you were a sinner and you were falling short of the glory of God. And you learned that God loved you and that God had a plan for your life. And He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sin. And one day in your life, you woke up to that reality. And you confessed your sin to God. You turned from your sin and you turned forward to Jesus Christ completely and fully. And you gave yourself fully to Him, and you placed your faith and your trust in Christ and Christ alone. And at that very moment, listen to me today, you were saved from your sin. That very moment, you were given the promise of heaven when you die. But listen, there's something more. At that very moment, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you, and your spirit is now one with the Spirit of God. And that means what? That means that the Scripture says that the Holy Spirit has been given to you in your life as a down payment of much more to come, as a guarantee that there's more to this world than what this world has to offer you. That's why when you are saved, your spirit becomes one with God. And that's why when you die, your body will be placed in the ground. But one day when Jesus comes again, even though you're already with the Lord, He will raise your body up from the dead to be joined together with your spirit, which is in the Lord's, and forever you will be with the Lord. And at that moment, you will have a glorified body, all to the glory of God. That is the message of the gospel. That is the heartbeat and the passion of God living in you. This church, to me, any church we have, any campus we have, any building we have, I believe it's a sacred place. Now, I was raised like that, and I wasn't raised in some incredibly large sanctuary. In fact, our little church there in my hometown where I was raised, you could put about 50 people in there, maybe 60 on a good Sunday. And those are my roots. That's where I was raised my whole life. I saw a picture of it the other day. People wouldn't believe it. It's so small. But I'm telling you, that's where I was raised. It was holy to me. I would have never gone in there and done something that wasn't right. If I would have, I'd have never lived to tell about it, because my daddy would have kicked me like really bad. Would have taken off that thin belt and wore me out. I believe the same about this building. I would never let anyone knowingly do something that was not sacred in this building. It's special. But more so than this building, your body is sacred, because your body is where God lives in you. In fact, that's why the Bible tells us in verse 17, the moment you're saved, your spirit is one with God's spirit. That's why the Bible tells us in verse 18 that we're not to do anything immoral with our bodies, because our bodies are set apart for God, and we should flee immorality and we should run to God, because the Holy Spirit lives in us. So, God lives inside you if you know Christ. But there's a third reason. God owns you. Did you know God owns you? You're not your own. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20 says, "For you were bought at a price, so glorify God with your body." Some of you might still be carrying the King James Version. You know what the King James Version says? It says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So as a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you, so you don't belong to yourself. You're owned by God. The Bible here is clear. You were bought with a price. You were purchased. Jesus paid a ransom for you. The Bible tells us that Jesus redeemed you from your sin. Jesus' blood paid the price for your sin. Jesus' blood met the demands of God's justice. And he died in your place. And Jesus is the Redeemer. And he paid the market price for you. He gave his all so that you could no longer be a slave to sin alone. But your ultimate and supreme purpose is given right here, that your body should glorify God. In other words, whatever body you got, whatever shape, size, color, makeup, whatever you got, buddy, whatever it is, lady, God wants you to use it to glorify him. It's the most concrete thing you have to offer to God. You see, the libertines, they lived in Paul's day, and the libertines considered that the human body was totally useless to the spiritual matters that God's concerned about. So therefore, you just live the way you want to live and you do what you want to do. You have complete liberty to do it. That's why they're called the libertines. But that is in direct opposition to the Holy Scripture. Because what does God tell us in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20? God lives inside of you. God is in your body. Your chief purpose with your body is to glorify God with your body. Therefore, listen to me, your body matters to God for three reasons. Don't forget this today. Teach this to your children. Teach it to your grandchildren. Why does your body matter to God? God created you. God lives inside of you, and God owns you. If you're saved, that's your situation. So today I thought it would be fun and helpful before we go to put some of this into action. In other words, how do we hear what we just had and what do we do with it? So today what I want to do is that I want to present to you a few actions that we should take because of what we just heard. For example, action number one, submit your entire life to God. Wow. Submit your entire life to God. Why? Why should I submit my life to God completely? Because God created me. Because God lives inside of me. Because God owns me. I should submit my life to God. I'm not my own. Are you with me? If you're saved today, you're not your own. You belong to the Lord. All of you. Including your body. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 says it this way. Some of you could quote this verse. Look at it. I urge you to present your bodies. What did it say? Your bodies. What does your body represent? Let's stop for a moment. Your body represents all you are. That's why when somebody dies, we miss their body. Doesn't matter how saved they are, we miss being with them. Their body represents their personality. It represents what we know, what we love, what we hug, what we kiss, what we care for. And while they may be with the Lord, that doesn't make it any easier for us at times because we miss their body. We miss all they are. So when Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says we are to present our bodies, what that means is we present our entire life, all of ourselves, completely to him as a what? Living sacrifice. Holy and pleasing to God. And you know what? Listen to this, choir. The Bible says this is your true worship. Didn't say a song was. It said when you present your body, all of you, that's your true worship. Every part of you. See, God wants all of you. He don't want a part of you. He wants all of you. In a few moments, we're going to sing a song very familiar to us. And it's that song, I Surrender All. That song ought to mean more to us today than ever before. Because, I mean, when we say all to Jesus, I surrender, that includes all of me, formally, continually, in an ongoing manner. All of my body, all of me I give to you, God. It's in all shapes, all sizes, all colors, and all conditions. But God, whatever I got, it's all yours to your glory. Because the chief purpose of your body should be what? Giving glory to God. Which is action number two. Glorify God with your body. Glorify God with your body. I didn't say glorify your body. Did you hear me? I say glorify God with your body. We got too many people glorifying their body today. This isn't a message on how to glorify your body. This is a message about how to bring glory to God with your body. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, in the Christian Standard Bible, so glorify God with your body. In the Message, what does it say? So let people see God in and through your body. In the New American Standard Bible, what does it say? Therefore, glorify God in your body. In the New Living Translation, what does it say? You must honor God with your body. And what does it say in the King James? It says, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The King James accurately translates it and connects the spiritual and the physical, calling upon all that we are, physically and spiritually, all we are, we give ourselves to you. That's why I have said over and over and over and over again over these last several weeks the same statement. And I say it again today because I want us to remember it. As your spiritual life goes, so goes the rest of your life. I'm telling you, when you have your life with God and you understand the Holy Spirit lives in, it shapes the way you look at relationships. It shapes the way you look at your emotional life. It shapes the way you look at money. It shapes the way you should even take care of your body. Because God wants to use your body to bring Him glory. Ronnie, there's no way in the world why my body can bring Him glory. Stop thinking about this imaginative thing of this perfect body. God doesn't want your body to be perfect. He will perfect your body one day when He raises you from the dead. What He wants you to do is to give Him all of your life, my soul, my all. Just like what it says in the tune, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. So I've got to understand that my spiritual life cannot go where my body cannot take me. It's a challenge when it does. Number three, do something now about your body. You say, what do you mean, Ronnie? I mean what I just said. Do something about your body. What's the biblical thing to do? Well, I'll tell you, the biblical thing to do is the right thing to do. And it's the spiritual thing to do. Do something about your body. What does that mean, Ronnie? You got to get a little more detailed for me, all right? I'd be glad to do that. Wherever you are physically, start doing something to improve where you are. You say, well, does that mean I have to do this? I didn't say what you have to do. I'm saying that you must understand that even with all of the challenges of your life physically today, I mean, we have people here today that perhaps, they have struggled physically since the day they were born. And we have people today because of health issues, they're not going to win any races right now. They're just glad to be in church today. There are some like my 94-year-old mother-in-law who lives in an assisted living home in Springdale. We moved her there just about a year and a half ago. You know what? You know what she does every day? Now, I want you to think about this. She wants to make sure every day at 94 years of age, almost 95 this January, that she takes her walk. You know what her walk is? Behind her walker. And she walks around that assisted living place. You say, well, what good does it do her? Look at her. No, she's got her mind. That's better than some of you have at 30. She's got her body. She was in church today at Springdale. She doesn't miss church just because she doesn't feel good sometimes. She comes even when she doesn't feel good. My point is not to glorify her. My point is to make a point to you. And that is, wherever you are, you can do something. So, Ronnie, does that mean when I'm watching the game today that I can't tell my mate or ask my mate, honey, would you bring me tea so I don't have to get up? Well, start somewhere, big boy. Start somewhere. Wherever that is, wherever that may be, do something, man. Oh, the point is one thing today. Just start doing something. And honor God. Laziness and busyness is not an excuse. Make no mistake about it. God believes in you. Your body matters to God. And the chief purpose of your body is one thing: to bring Him glory. To bring Him glory. To worship Him with all you are, with all you have. That's what God wants from you. So why is this important? I'll tell you why it's important. And with this I close. Because Jesus came to redeem you from your sin. Because He is the Redeemer who lives. The Redeemer who came to buy you back. To purchase your salvation. And not only did He die for you, listen very carefully, He died in your place. And that's why we hope that there are some here today that you will do what many of us have done in our life. And that is that you will invite Jesus in your life. And the moment you do that, listen carefully, God comes to live inside of you.